Dearly beloved, as we continue to worship the Lord tonight, I'd like you to open your Bibles for a scripture reading to two passages tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Just put your finger there because we're going to jump to another passage after that, and that's Galatians 1, 6 to 9. So 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4, and Galatians 1, 6 to 9. And this is really beautiful passages that would be the springboard for our worship tonight as we look forward to singing hymns about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4 says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit in which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Galatians 1, 6 to 9 says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of heaven, of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Before Terry comes and preaches the Word of God, let me just give you a bit of information about Terry. Terry holds a doctorate in theology and a master's degree in arts and biblical studies, as well as diplomas in Bible and ministry studies and a diploma in teaching. He was formerly the founder and the president of Pacific Bible College here in Australia. Terry pastored the Hervey Bay Bible Church for many years, as well as being involved in the ministry of preaching and teaching and conducting seminars in a wide range of churches and colleges in Australia and overseas. He is the author of several books and papers. I think some of them will be on the table at the back. So after the service, please have your way through the table. Some of them are free. Some of them are for a price, I believe. Just consult Terry with regards to that. And he is also the editor of a growing worldwide bi-monthly free publication, Diacrisis. Did I pronounce it? Diacrisis. Okay. Diacrisis. And if you want to know more about his ministry, he has a website. You may go and log into this, www.taministries.net. This ministry has a mission of teaching, informing, and equipping the church. Terry, please come and preach the Word of God to us. God bless you, brother.
Good evening, everybody. I'm really glad because that means I don't have to talk about myself. It's just been done. So that's a good thing for me. There is a free newsletter down the back there. I believe some of you probably are on that, and it's free. And so please have a look at that later. Yeah, the ministry is to teach and inform and equip. I think I was here maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I think I've been here maybe 2 or 3 times, twice before that, and I've always enjoyed coming here. I can't remember the last time I parked. Today I was out the back there somewhere, and there was nobody. I thought, well, no one's coming to hear me, so that could be normal. But then I realised. So anyway, I have made it. Tonight the topic is which Jesus, which gospel, and which spirit. I've preached this a few times, and every time I preach it, I change it. And the reason is because there are more Jesus coming on the scene, there are more gospels coming on the scene, and that produces different spirits too. And so I probably added a little bit to this since the last time I've taught it, and it's one that some people find a little bit difficult because towards the end I get closer and closer to home. I mean, we can talk about the Jehovah Witnesses, and most 100% would probably agree with me. But when it comes to the gospel, which I'm going to do at the end, I am very concerned about what is happening in the presentation of the gospel in many churches today. We have made it much more man-centered than it is centered on Jesus Christ crucified. Christ crucified. And so we will get to that, but let's pray first. Our Father in heaven, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. Lord, have mercy on the preacher as he exposes some things here and as to the various Christs that are out there, the various gospels. And Lord, help us tonight to preach the gospel and to teach it correctly. And Lord, I pray that we would be Bereans and test what is said, what is preached, and that we go home and study our Bibles to see if these things are true. Lord, help us to be constantly reforming what we believe, what we teach. And Lord, just help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Outside the church, there are many gods. And many people would debate whether there's a God or not, if there's a God at all. There's a lot of religions. That's increased dramatically in the last few hundred years, and so the question could be which God. But there's another dilemma that I think inside the church, and that is many churches are teaching things that are adding to the nature and the character of Christ, and that produces another gospel. Churches are putting forth a vast array of Christ today. And so I think these two scriptures that we looked at are really important, and I want you to open your Bibles to the first one, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 and 4. And I'll just read through that now. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Note that. A lot of what's happening today is subtle. It's very subtle. And it's probably going to get subtle, more subtle, as we approach the coming of the Lord. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We do not want to complicate the gospel. Verse 4, for if he that comes preaches another Jesus, some versions have a different Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. That's my concern today, is that churches would bear with some of the new things that are coming out. And so we're talking about another Jesus preached. If that's the case, well then we're in danger of also hearing about another spirit and another gospel. Have a look at Galatians now. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto, and here it is again, a different gospel, which is not another, I have in my version. That Greek word there is allos, meaning it's not the one that we taught. It's not the same one that we taught. That first another, if you've got a King James there, is the Greek word heteros. It's another of a different kind. So we're talking about two different gospels here. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That word accursed is anathema. It's a strong word. It means damned, cursed. So we are talking about something really serious here. So we're going to be looking at the different Jesus, and I'm going to paint a broad brush. I'm going to go right across the spectrum. And we need you to judge. Now, when I say that, people say, well, you know, we're not supposed to judge. Bible says not to judge. And I don't know how much they know about the scriptures, because the Bible actually says, yes, in some places not to judge, but it also says in some places to judge. I think the church needs to judge more on these things. Matthew chapter 7, people say, well, don't judge. But it's saying to take the beam out of your own eye before you take the speck out of the other person's eye. In other words, don't judge hypocritically. But John 7:24 says, judge righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, a spiritual man judges all things. Luke 7:43, Jesus said, you have rightly judged. We are not to judge in foods or drinks, Romans 14. But we are to reprove, Ephesians 5. We are to try the spirits, test the spirits, 1 John 4. We are to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We are to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The word that we name the newsletter after is diakrisis. It's literally the word to judge through. Dia through, krisis to judge. And so that's what I think we ought to do when it comes to the many different Jesus, the many different Christs that are out there. And look, the state of the church today is that I think we are moving further and further away from a correct presentation of the gospel. I've written a book, the last book I wrote, I think it's the most important, is Bring the Gospel Back. Because this is what we, and I'm pleased to hear the prayer tonight is let's have everything based on the gospel. Youth groups, all groups, preaching, everything that we do, discipleship, let it be based on the gospel. Well, here's the broad brush that I'm going to paint. I'm going to start off with ones that you might know, and then we'll get closer to home. The Jehovah Witness Jesus. This is a created God. In fact, it's a God in their versions. He's the Archangel Michael. He's a man, not God. He is not to be worshipped. And that's strange, because the wise men, as you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, worshipped the Lord Jesus. He was recreated at the resurrection, so they say. And that means that Thomas saw a fraud. He has 4 failed prophecies, at least. Some say 6 or 7, but you can probably talk to Jehovah Witnesses at least on 4 definite failed prophecies. The gospel that they preach is faith plus works. It's about Jehovah. It's not about the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Is that the same as the biblical Jesus that you have? Or is it another Jesus? The second one is the Mormon Jesus. The Mormon Jesus came with 2 angels and spoke to Joseph Smith and said that all religions are wrong, that he had to start a new one. He teaches that we have to be exalted to Godhead. This Jesus was conceived by sex between Mary and God, and therefore is a spirit brother of Lucifer. He teaches polygamy. You have to earn your salvation with him. Not all sins are remitted by the blood, but you need Joseph Smith also for that. This Jesus was born in Jerusalem and not in Bethlehem and not to a virgin. This Jesus came to America, even though there is just no archaeological evidence for that. Is this the same as the biblical Jesus that you have, or another Jesus? Let's get closer to home, and this is where some people get a little bit annoyed with me, but I'm an ex-Catholic, and so I can see this probably clearer perhaps than some. The Roman Catholic Jesus speaks through Mary, uses Mary instead of the Holy Spirit to draw men to Christ. He speaks through an infallible Pope, and thus you've got a whole lot of traditions added on down the centuries. The extra doctrines, extra traditions. Mary is actually a co-redeemer and a co-mediator. This Jesus is sacrificed again at every single Mass, and it's literally, in their catechisms, the same sacrifice as at Calvary. And yet, when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. This Jesus curses me for teaching justification by grace through the imputed righteousness of Christ. In other words, that when we have faith alone in Jesus Christ, that God promises to credit his righteousness to us and credit our sin to the cross. We call that double imputation. That is cursed as an anathema. They have a series of anathemas. This Jesus adds sacraments to salvation. It says the sacraments are necessary for salvation. Is this the same as the biblical Jesus? Let's get closer to home. The Pentecostal charismatic signs and wonders, and more recently, you could call it the word of faith. In 1901, Charles Parham overturned 1,900 years of orthodoxy and introduced a new doctrine, brand new, the baptism with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then from that, later on, came a healing gospel where Jesus died on the cross for our healing. There's actually only one verse that they really can quote, and that is, "By his stripes we are healed." But if they looked at where that comes from, it actually comes from Isaiah. It's a quote from Isaiah. And Isaiah has nothing to do with bodily healing. Also, if you go through that scripture, you will find the word soul is mentioned. It's particularly talking about the healing of the soul, not the body. Then later on, this Jesus teaches now the what's called the prosperity gospel. But the one thing that really concerns me is the extra biblical revelation that is added to scripture, that you can hear from God outside of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is doing new things. The signs and wonders are in that. You've got miracles and healings, raisings from the dead, stories about after-death experiences, new things. The Holy Spirit is doing new things. And there's a false claim of revivals. They say that there will be a worldwide end-time revival. I refute that categorically. The scriptures are very clear. There will be a falling away. There will be an apostasia, an apostasy in the end, before the man of sin comes, 2 Thessalonians 2. And the word of faith, which is more of a recent thing, well, God is manipulated by a force of faith contained in words. And from that you can get healing, you get money, success, etc. Hillsong teaches that quite well. You got Hagen, you got Copeland, Joyce Myers. These people say that Jesus went to hell and was tormented by Jesus for 3 days and three nights. It's in their books. They say Jesus had to be born again. There's a list of false prophecies which we could name. Is this the same as the biblical Jesus, or is it another Jesus? Fasten your seatbelts, because now we're getting closer to home. This Jesus, see if you can tell what this Jesus is. It focuses on love, not truth, and is very rarely will touch sin or the wrath of God. It's unity. It declared at the expense of truth. Decisions are counted as salvation, and yet there's an 80% fall away today in that movement. The Reformation was a mistake. Catholicism is now Christian. The imputed righteousness is completely ignored. And I think that's the really key part of the gospel. It's very important. I think it's an angel of light. It teaches an oikumenikos. Oikumenikos is the Greek word for ecumenical. It's the ecumenical Jesus. And you know what the opposite of that word? We call it the antonym in Greek. The opposite of oikumenikos is ekklesia, the Greek word for church. Ek, out, klesia, to call, the called out ones, the church. Now we get to one that I'm really passionate about too, and this is the one that I was talking about in my book. I don't know what to call this. Maybe I'll call it the modern gospel Jesus. This Jesus is impotent. He's got his hands tied. He's waiting to see what man will do in response to the gospel. It's a gospel with an emphasis on the response rather than the gospel. The gospel is not about what man can do. The gospel is about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That's where we need to be looking. That's where we need to be pointing. Yes, there is a response, but that's not the gospel. Yes, we ask people to respond. But what is that? It's believing and repenting. We need to bring these words back instead of accept Jesus into your heart. Where do we get that from? In fact, you know what? I don't think that's a good thing. Do you know what's in your heart? Your heart is deceitfully wicked beyond all measure. Who can know it? It's a gospel with an emphasis on the response by what man can do instead of the gospel about what Christ has done. It's not what we do. It's what Christ has done. It's the gospel. It's the good news because of the bad news, because we're sinners. The gospel is not an offer. It's a proclamation. It's a preached thing. But it's been reduced to mechanical, man-made measures to get a decision. Where did that come from? 1840, the Second Great Awakening. They introduced mechanical means to get people to come forward, altar calls, etc. Put your hand up. Make a decision. Accept Jesus in your heart. They brought in all these new phrases. It's a misuse of the gospel. It's a misuse of the scripture. And here's where, look, some people get really annoyed with me when I say we shouldn't be using phrases like, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you know where that comes from? Joshua. But what's the context? It's nothing to do with the gospel. It's nothing to do with New Testament salvation. It's actually Joshua telling his people, get away from the gods. You don't want to go back to Egypt. And the other one is Jesus is at the door knocking. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. He's knocking at the door waiting for you. Waiting for your heart to open. Look at that scripture. Who's it referring to? Always ask the question, who is the passage speaking to you? First question, who is the passage speaking to? Who is it speaking to? Somebody tell me. The church. It's speaking to a group of believers. Yes, they might have gone off the track. It's got nothing to do with an unsaved person. Why use that? Jesus would not use that. If his apostles walked in this room, they would not use that scripture because it would be a misuse of scripture. And so we have these new phrases. Open the door of your heart. Christ is knocking at your door, and we introduce prayers and altar calls. And look, the key ends up in man's hands instead of the Holy Spirit. We need to trust the Holy Spirit more when we preach the gospel. He's powerful. He will draw, he will call, he will illuminate, he will quicken, make alive. The real Jesus. He's not the Jehovah Witness Jesus because he's always been. He's always been. John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Where's that coming from? It's coming from Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. Moses was asking God, who am I going to tell the people who you are? And he said, tell them, I am that I am. The Hebrew, I am. The Greek, in the Greek, it's I am. And then in John 8:58, they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because he claimed to be equal with God. That's what it says. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the great I am. He's not created. He's the creator. For by him, Colossians 1:16-17, for by him were all things created. All things were created by him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Really clear. He is to be worshipped. He was worshipped on earth, and he will be worshipped in heaven as the Lamb of God. He's not an angel. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 says he's better, I'll quote, better than the angels. He's not just a man, he's a God-man. He's God-man, man-God. And he was born of a virgin, Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. And what about the Mormon Jesus? Well, my Jesus did not appear and tell anyone to start a new religion. Our religion dates back to Christ. And then dates further back to Jehovah. He didn't come to America. And you know what the scripture we read? Even if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, that's exactly what happened with the Mormon church. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 says, be careful of fables and genealogies, etc. He was born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. He died for my sin totally. Romans chapter 5 verse 9, I'm justified by his blood. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus what? Cleanses us from all sin, not some. What about the Roman Catholic Jesus? Well, look, Jesus does not have Mary as a co-redeemer or co-mediator. I consider that probably blasphemy. He doesn't speak through Mary or an infallible pope. He's spoken by his prophets. Hebrews chapter 1 says that. He's already spoken by his prophets. And now we have what? The more sure word of prophecy. What is that but? The very next verse says the prophecy of the scripture. Graphe. It's the written word of God. My Jesus does not have to be sacrificed again. As I said, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, tetelestai. That means it is finished. Hebrews chapter 10. It says it was done once and for all. One sacrifice for sins forever. No longer any sacrifice for sins. Quoting there. It's not by grace plus sacraments. It's not by grace plus anything. It's by grace alone through the vehicle of faith, not of works, lest any should boast. My Jesus also does not add new teachings in 1901. The Holy Spirit is not doing new things. What the Holy Spirit does is found in Scripture. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is not out there somewhere. There's far too much teaching that has the Holy Spirit out there somewhere. You know, as some sort of presence out there. Holy Spirit is in us. You know, there's the saying, you know, well, there's an illustration I often use. There was a Pentecostal conference, and the person on stage is praying for the start of the conference, and he's praying for the anointing to come. He's praying for the Holy Spirit to come. He's praying hard, really hard, for the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come and be with us. And an old man up the back stands up and says, "It's okay, he came with me." But you know what? There's a real truth in that. When you walk through the door, you brought the anointing with you. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 John. It's literally the Holy Spirit. And when you walk through that door, you brought the Holy Spirit with you if you are a believer in Christ. And when we walk around, wherever we go, we take the Holy Spirit with us. He's not out there, so you don't have to reach out there to get him. So the Holy Spirit is not doing new things. I mean, you know, some of the teaching today overturns 1,900 years of orthodoxy. My Jesus sovereignly heals. I do believe in healing. He sovereignly heals. But I'm telling you, I challenge anyone who claims that they have the gift of healing. If they have the gift of healing, then they're going to heal all. No failures. And they'll come with me. And I've challenged many. Come with me down to the hospital when I do my visitation. Heal this person. Heal that person. Heal a Down syndrome person. Now, I get angry sometimes at this. I really do. Because I see that it just turns into another Jesus. That is just not what I'm seeing in the Bible. The apostolic gifts, the gift of healing in the first century was specifically to prove the messiahship of Jesus Christ and then the credentials of the apostle. Also, to teach a worldwide falling away, a worldwide end time revival, well, that's not what I'm seeing in Scripture. There's numerous scriptures that says that the last days will just get worse and worse. And then you got 2 Thessalonians 2, I mean, it's fairly straightforward. My Jesus is sovereign. He can't be manipulated by a force of faith to get healing or money or success, etc. He was not tormented by demons 3 days and 3 nights. His blood atoned me on the cross completely, not in hell. My Jesus warns of and does not accept false prophets. I think we're far too easy on false prophets today. And there'll be many. There'll be many in the last days. The next Jesus is, my Jesus does not focus on love and unity at the expense of justice and truth. My Jesus did not see the Reformation as a mistake. It brought people back to the Bible. The Bible was chained before that. It opened the Bible to the people. And it opened such things as justification, the imputed righteousness of Christ, faith alone, sola scriptura, scripture alone for all our teaching, the doctrine of imputation, all these things will open up to the common people. I know there were a lot of mistakes at the Reformation, and the Reformation is far from perfect. In fact, I think it should have gone on longer, but I'm not God. God had it end when it ended. I think we probably, you know what, today I think rather than getting having a revival, I think maybe we need a reformation first, you know, to come back to some of those things that were at the Reformation. My Jesus is not into an oikumenikos, a ecumenical church which accepts a whole lot of mixtures on doctrines and teachings in the gospel. It's an ecclesia. He's called people out of what? Out of sin and out of the world. My Jesus says there is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. My Jesus does not accept other religions. I think we are far too soft on that too. But then coming down to the gospel, I kind of got carried away before, and I'm going to repeat some of that, because the gospel, this is what really concerns me today. I want it to be more about Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And I want it to be about a done work. There's nothing we can do to accept the gospel except believe, repent. The Jesus of the true gospel is not impotent. He has not got his hands tied for us, and he's not waiting, you know, knocking at the door, waiting for someone to respond. His spirit is all powerful to draw, to call, to make alive those he chooses. And he will not miss, the scriptures should not be misused, like I mentioned with Joshua, Revelation, etc. And also, look, some of the illustrations that are being used, in fact, the next newsletter, I'm going to write a whole article about some of the illustrations that I'm hearing and that I'm seeing. For example, I'll just give you one. This is to do with the gospel. There's a man down in a pit. He can't get out. He has no way out. And so God dangles a rope down and asks him, will you take that rope so that I can pull you out? Now, it might sound okay, but actually it's actually anti some of the scriptures. That person down in that pit, that unsaved person, he is dead in sin. He's a corpse. He's dead. He knows nothing. You preach the gospel to him and you pray that the Holy Spirit will open his heart. And here's what happened. God gets down in the pit. He opens his heart and he's made alive so that he is willing to receive the gospel. That's what the scriptures teach. That's what the Puritans teach. That's what the reformers teach. And that's what I think we need to go back to. We need to trust the Holy Spirit. Preach the gospel and trust the Holy Spirit. Call people to repent. Call people to believe. Call people to call upon the name of the Lord, by all means. But concentrate on the gospel first, instead of, drawing a picture of Jesus is going to fix your marriage, or he's going to do this or that. He might do that. But you know what that is? That's sanctification. That's after you're saved. Those things may actually happen. But what you need is to be justified in the courts of heaven. You need another righteousness, and that righteousness sits on the right hand of the Father. My Jesus would not, I don't believe he'd use altar calls and decisional prayers and new measures introduced, by the way, in the Second Great Awakening, 1840. You'll find it from then on. It was called, in the first instant, it was actually called the Anxious Bench. They had a special place where people could come, and then it developed from that, and you had all your new techniques today. By the way, I'm not saying that people can't get saved in those situations. If the gospel is preached, it's God that opens the heart, and people are still and will get saved. But remember, we've got to start looking at this 80% fall away rate. To me, that is serious. I want to know what happens to these people. When I meet them, they're hardened. Some of them are hardened. Hardened to the gospel. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He is effective. He draws. He woos. He calls. He justifies. When we are dead in sin, let it be about Christ, and then trust the Holy Spirit what he will do. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives to Christ, they will come and will be raised up. John 6:44, no man comes to the Father unless drawn. And the one I love is Lydia, Acts chapter 16. It always fascinates me. What happened? She was following these people, these disciples, and not paying attention. not listening, and then what happened? God opened her heart. I love that. And that's what he did to me. There is nothing I did. Nothing I did except believe. The right Jesus, folks, will give you the right spirit and the right gospel. You can't have one wrong. It will affect the other two. The message of God is this. Jesus Christ came as deity. He came as God in the flesh. He humbled himself to die, a substitute in our place, as a sinless, perfect and finished sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And through his blood, he paid the penalty, the redemption of our sin. He satisfied the law. He satisfied God with an offering. That's called propitiation. He was buried. He rose from the dead in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to credit, to declare, to impute righteousness to those who will believe and trust him as Saviour and Lord. His offer, it's really simple. You know what his offer is? It's not healing. It's not a better marriage. It's eternal life. And with him in heaven, face to face, to sinners who repent and have faith in who he is and what he did. This is the real Jesus. So which Jesus and which gospel will we set before the people? Will you bear with those who preach another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel? Which gospel will we put before the people? Will we begin with God loves you, he has a wonderful plan for your life, or you need Jesus because you're a sinner? Will we begin by explaining who God is and why he cannot tolerate sin, or will we speak of what a wonderful plan he has for your life? Will we be patient in the preparation of a soul and teach the law broken, or will we minimize sin by pandering to human ability? Remember, the person is dead in sin. All of them. Preach to all of them. They need Jesus. You know, the responsibility to save, by the way, is not ours. We are not responsible for salvation. It is God who is responsible. What's our responsibility? Preach the gospel. That's our responsibility. Will we destroy the offense of the cross by not mentioning judgment, by not mentioning the wrath of God to the unsaved? And these things were placed on Jesus Christ to satisfy God. Will we turn the gospel from what Christ has done to what man can do? Will we call for repentance and faith, or will we call for a decision? One is more important than the other. Will we trust the sovereign Holy Spirit to bring the understanding of Christ crucified? Or will we tell them their decision has made them a Christian? I don't like that one either. You know what I do? I follow what Spurgeon did. He said, I'll wait for fruit. I'll wait and see if there's fruit. There is another Jesus. There is another spirit. There is another gospel, and I fear that the church today is bearing with them. Be encouraged, folks. The real Jesus is found in the scriptures, and that's why we should bury ourselves in it. The real Jesus is found in the scriptures. The prophets have spoken. And now he is in the more sure word of prophecy. The prophecy of what? The scriptures. Seek the real Jesus. One of the verses that has been very special to me on this trip, I might add, it's been a lonely trip because my daughter was in hospital after I left, and so my wife had to stay home. Normally she travels with me, and so it's been a little bit difficult. But one of the scriptures that, as I've been, because I've had a lot of time, I guess, on the road in between churches to read and to meditate. I'm way off the track here now, but you know what I think. Meditation is something that we need to bring back. The Puritans were really good at meditation. Yes, we read our Bible. Yes, we obey. Yes, we pray. But meditating on what we have written and going deeper in to what the scriptures have spoken to us. But here's a scripture that is special to me. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I love that. First of all, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it says this, Hebrews 11, verse 6, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what I urge you to do. Seek the real Jesus. And folks, be reforming all the time. Be testing yourself and checking yourself and And when things come along, even in church life, test them. You know what the scripture says? Try the spirits. Test the spirits. Make sure you've got the real gospel. I'll tell you something. We cannot afford to be wrong in the gospel. We can afford to be wrong in other theologies, and I'm happy to disagree with, you know, someone, some of my theologies. But when it comes to the gospel, I will work hard with that person to make sure that we have the same gospel, and hopefully it's going to be the one that comes out of scripture. That'll give you the real Jesus, the real gospel, and the real spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have, we've tried to unpack we've used them as a springboard, Lord, to try to connect up and try to think on which Jesus, which gospel, which spirit. Lord, you warned that there would be many false prophets in the last days. You have warned that there would be other Jesus, other gospel, even in that day. But Lord, now, how many more? Lord, when the things of the world and the things of these other Christs, Lord, would be itching at our ears, Lord, I pray that we would be students of the Bible, that we would be students of the more short word of prophecy, the prophecy of the scripture. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I thank you where it stands in doctrine, and Lord, I pray that it will continue. And Lord, that it won't introduce any new modern things that might affect the gospel. Lord, if it affects the gospel, Lord, I pray that we would be discerning in this. Lord, we don't have all of this that we've said in even tonight, 100% perfect, Lord. But Lord, we just pray that as we diligently seek the real Jesus from the scriptures, Lord, that you will reward us and that we will learn more. For one day you will burst through the skies, or we will go to meet you in death. And Lord, we will be face to face, and we will be face to face with the real Jesus. We'll understand the real gospel in full and the real spirit. And we thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.